Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is brought to you by Frank Strong's Brewed Like Beer, Tastes Like Lemonade.
Craft brewed alcoholic lemonade.
Hey guys, it's the Thinker Girls Pod Channel.
Yeah,
I'm Stacey June.
And I'm Christy Mercer. What have you just done with your hair?
I took it out.
It looks really good.
What?
You know you get that when your hair's been up in a bun and then you just take it out and it does its thing? It's just fallen into a very good spot.
That is the basis of my curls for my entire 20s.
Nah,
was that
good.
I would wet my hair,
yeah.
Put it in a rough bun at the top of my head and then take it out and that would be
Remember
it.
Scrunch buns where you do the wet look where it was like kind of slick to your head like and then the ponytail itself was all scrunchy and moussey, that wet look mousse?
That's foul.
Very 90s.
Welcome to the Pod Channel. We have another week full of great content for you. We are so excited to have launched the Pod Channel last week and very, very grateful for all of your wonderful comments and reviews and showing us where you're listening. It's been incredibly exciting.
How excited do people get when they're like, wait, we want more. And then we write back and we're like, yeah, there's another rep tomorrow. And they're like, yes.
That's right. The Pod Channel is where you will find different shows dropping most days of the week. We're covering our lives, your lives, and our guests' lives, as well as all the different things going on in the world on a pop culture show that'll drop called The 411 later this week.
Yeah, this week's going to be a biggie. We have got social media star, radio chickadee, writer, soon to be published author, Tanya Hennessy coming up on the show a little later this week, and we're going to be delving into making mates, adult friendships, particularly as chicks, how challenging that can be. So we're stoked for that.
On this episode though, I want to cover today, I want to talk about as I start to potentially put maybe a pinky toe into the pool of having a baby.
Ooh, girl.
I want to talk about parents that are cool.
What? Parents that are cool.
Yes. I want to talk about a new generation of parents that I'm watching in front of me give me inspiration that I will not lose myself.
And okay.
I'm looking at JT. Justin
okay.
Timberlake.
Very good. Oh, yeah, now I know what you're talking about. Mm. Okay, and today I want to talk about exes and social media because I feel like breaking up is not what it used to be. Like when you break up with somebody, you don't just break up. Like they're still there.
No, they're not just – and it's – I've got to say I can testify.
I can testify.
Yeah, I can testify to this, but not just from my own experience from like breakups, but from your breakup.
Oh, God.
Like it is full on.
It is really full on. Okay, let's talk about this. Because I saw an article and I've had this saved in my phone for a little while and we'll put it up at thethinkergirls.com.au. It's actually an article that's been written by a chick named Jacinta Colo from the HuffPost all about should you delete your ex from social media? And it goes through, you know, different points as to how will I approach it? Will that seem like I care too much? You know, what about if I want to try and continue to be friends with them? And then where do I stop? Do I delete all of the friends of my ex from social media? And it's just something that's been so on my mind right now that even when I try not to think about it and I maybe don't think about looking at my ex's social media page for a couple of days, no doubt I will have somebody in my life go, oi, have you seen old mate's Insta lately? And I'm like, I just feel like it's very present and I'm finding it hard to really get away from at the moment.
Old mate being Mr. X.
Yes, Mr. X. Well, the X.
Yes.
So it got to the point where recently I actually cracked it a little bit at a friend because before it had been a bit of, you know, kind of joking around like, don't tell me, bro, I don't want to know, but then would be quite indulgent in hating on him, hating on the page, which then I would feel so shit about afterwards because like doing that on a regular basis, just being negative and nasty about somebody, even if it feels nice at the time, later would make me feel really bad.
Of course. So, about anybody, let alone your ex.
So I actually semi-cracked at a friend the other day and I said, don't talk to me about it. I know you're thinking that this is helping me by making me feel good, letting me know what he's doing and what he's up to and how you think he's a bit of a tosser, but that's actually, it doesn't make me feel good. And she was like, oh, okay, yeah, cool, no worries.
I think a lot of people think in breakups the thing to do is badmouth the ex. And a lot of people, I think, also get a gauge on trying to figure out how you're dealing with it.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And they think that's the right thing to do.
But without me vocalizing that to her, well, how is she supposed to know? Because maybe that worked for her.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But I've had to go through feeling bad about hating on him to realize that that doesn't fix anything.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not like, you shouldn't have done that in the past, because to be honest, I don't know, over the first few months after the breakup, it would be checking his page, I think, I don't know, on an every couple of hours basis.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm on, I've never actually said that out loud.
No.
It's full of.
You're a little.
Because I think on the outside, I was like, I don't care. I feel so good. I'm so whatever. But then I'd also be like, but what's he doing? Is he feeling as good as me? What's happening? What's he up to?
Well, we don't know because his pictures are so fake. So what's the point of looking?
Okay,
half
so.
Half the time he's tagging, he's in a different place than he actually is. Like, what is the point of looking every few hours to try and figure out the real situation? And it doesn't exist not just for him, but for most people.
Okay, so if anybody has recently been through a breakup, is currently going through one, maybe is about to go through one, I want to pass on a piece of advice that one of my best mates gave me. And this has been really, really helpful and really changed the game for me over the last couple of months. She said, you need to send him a text, a courtesy text, to give him the heads up that you are about to delete him from all social medias. Right?
Social medias.
All of the medias, all of the platforms.
Yeah.
Because she said, this is what my ex did with me. And she said, it might feel or sound a bit like as if you need to do that. You're no longer together. You don't owe that to that other person. But she said, I found it really, really helpful. Because at first I was like really struggling with, you know, even though you're broken up, breakups aren't what they used to be. It's not like you break up with somebody, you move house, and then you just, you know, maybe run into them at a bar or maybe see them in the shopping center 6 months down the track. Like, social media provides a way, an insight, and whether it's your legit life or not, there's constant reminders of somebody that is really painful and is really hard.
I am engaged, as every freaking person in the world is aware of, after last week's shows, but I am not in a relationship with Ben on social or anything. I don't understand the point of it.
What do you mean?
You know how it's on Facebook, I'm in a relationship.
Oh,
I'm
yeah, the like, status thing.
After the absolute turmoil that my last breakup took me through with, you know, oh, we need to just mute that we're, you know, mute the relationship status. Don't actually break up with me online. Like, I found that so harrowing. I just really, it's like so public.
It is so public.
So now I'm like, nah, I'm not in anything with anyone anywhere. Unless it's my house.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I think that's
my
a good
own
thing.
Business.
Because shit is complicated enough already as it is. Breakups are complicated enough.
And then so add Facebook in front of all of your closest 500 friends.
You know, Facebook and then Instagram and then Snapchat, and all of this provides a platform, a space for everybody in your life to comment,
but Facebook
talk
in,
about and
but
pass
Facebook
judgment
in
on.
Particular with that relationship status thing is like a knife.
It comes up as a notification. For me, that felt really final when I changed the Facebook thing too. And this is the piece of advice that my mate gave me. She was like, delete him off everything. And at that point, I was still a bit angry. I was a bit like, God, I don't know him a bloody text. I'm not doing that. And she's like, trust me, just I think it will be a good thing. So I said, okay, I'll sit on it. And I did. I thought about it for a day. And then I thought, you know what? She's got a point. So I sent a really polite message. Hey, you know, hope you're well, whatever. Just giving you the heads up that I am about to delete you off all socials. It's just too hard seeing you pop up everywhere.
No.
But I just wanted to give you the heads up. Because although you can be like, have your thoughts, and if you broke up on bad terms, whatever. But at the same time, it feels nice to have at least a level of respect for each other that I've spent 8 years of my life with somebody. So at the very last bit where it really does feel like the final tether, the final cord that's holding you together, this social BS, that I was like, okay, I want to try and be as respectful as I possibly can for him, but also for myself, because it doesn't feel good not being, you know,
it's
good
the same,
about it.
And I said this last week about what kind of person you want to be in your real, in your life, and what kind of person you want to be in your single life. Like mm-hmm. they should be the same thing. Same with your ex. Mm-hmm. As hard as it is, who do you want to be? Like who, what kind of a person do you want to be? I think that is a really good point.
He wrote back and he said, yep, thank you so much for the heads up. Really appreciate it. I've been thinking the same thing, so I'm going to do the same with you.
And me.
And you? Have it. Did we get cut at the same time?
Yes, mate.
Because I know we unfollowed the Thinker Girls page yonks ago, like ages ago.
Well, because my boyfriend was contacted him at that time.
That's when you know you're tight with. That's when you know you're tight with someone. Well, where you are getting cut from socials at the same time as the ex is. Like that.
Well, it's like another relationship. So he cut both of us. We were both taken down.
And can I please just point this out there for anybody who's maybe thinking about doing this, thinking that it might cause more drama. If you're doing it with love and with respect, I cannot express the freedom that you experience after doing this. It is legit like that person is dead. No, I'm serious. Like that sounds
He's
intense.
Not, but
No. But
yeah,
like it actually was quite confronting to me to realize how much I know about people in my life, what they're up to, what they're doing, who they're seeing, what they look like at the moment, you know, what they're wearing, how much of that actually comes from my social media feed. Mm. It was quite confronting because I'm like, oh, I know what's going on with old mate. I know what's going on with Sam at home. I know what's going on with my cousin at the moment. You don't.
No.
You see what they're projecting to you and 50,000 other million people in the world. You've actually got no idea what's going on with them. So when I deleted him from social media, I was like, oh, here I was thinking that I was in his world knowing what was going on. I actually have no idea, and I cannot explain how good that felt to not see just this constant reminder pop up on your phone. It does feel like self-harm a bit, because to know that I'd kind of suffered through that for the first few months after the breakup, because I did think if there's enough drama, you don't need to make more drama, just leave it on socials, you know, don't be that petty, as if it matters that much to see a pic pop up every now and then.
It does.
And this is something that you've said, you're like, whether you feel petty because you're like, oh, it's just Insta, if it's making you feel depressed, which it was, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be you eat a pea. Don't eat the pea if it's making you feel anxious. You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, you know, if a pea is going to make you vomit, are you going to eat them? I mean, I hate peas, so I don't eat them.
It may, like, I just.
But I think this is a really good, the more you speak about it, the more I realize it actually applies to dating as well. And this is
what
going
do you
to
mean?
Help. Well, I think you need to remember exactly what you've just said and maybe listen back to the podcast a few times in the next 6 to 12.
Yeah, right.
If you need to. Or anybody that is dating, not maybe just going through a breakup. The same principle with dudes that you don't know. You know, we think we know guys we're dating.
Oh,
we think,
yeah.
You know, you're not in a relationship with someone. You might go on a date with them. You might have seen them on Tinder. You might have whatever. We're spending a lot of time stalking men that we don't really, A, know or need to be looking at. Mm. Like, it is just such a waste of time.
Yeah. You know what's also a waste of time? Fearing what people will think if you speak up and say how you feel. For a while, I didn't say stuff to my mates when they were like, hating on him or looking at his socials or have you seen this or have you seen that or let's go back through his feed and laugh at stuff because it'll make you feel better. I felt like you're trying to support me right now and I appreciate your support. So by me saying, oh, that doesn't make me feel good to do that, I felt like in a way I was pushing away and taking for granted that support because I was like, they might be offended. But in the end, they don't give a shit. They just want to support you how you need to be supported.
With online in particular, it's tricky because I think just like trolling and what we speak about or what we see so much with people being so awful to people online, I think that behavior is also, it's so much easier to badmouth someone's Instagram photo rather than to badmouth an event they did, you know, a year ago when I saw him speak to you like that. That was awful. It's so much easier to say, I saw this photo and it was awful. And so even though they were being awful, in some ways as well, I think people find it easier to express potentially what they may have thought originally through social.
Yeah.
Which is a bit hardcore to hear, I'm sure. But I think there is this kind of element where people take it less seriously, which they shouldn't. They shouldn't. But it's an easier punch.
Do you know how many times, and I think it's important to be honest about this stuff because I don't know. I think sometimes I can get on the bandwagon of being like, after my breakup, I'm feeling really good right now. I am. I do feel good. I'm probably the happiest I've been, but like the most unstable and a bit like, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like I'm still a bit all over the shop, and that'll probably take a long time to get, I don't know that you ever get back to 100% or whatever. Like there'll always be something going on. So I feel like
It can improve.
I think for a bit, I felt a bit defensive where I had to put on this front that I'm feeling so great. I'm single. Woo, single life. Yas, you know, because there was an element of me that was really loving it, but it wasn't all of that. So I think it's important now to be honest and say that. I reckon there would have been probably over 1,000 times.
1,000?
Where even though I've deleted him from social so I don't see his stuff, over 1,000 times where I've gone to type in his name to go and still lurk even though I'm not following him. And I would have to stop myself. It was almost like it was like an addiction.
Yeah.
Like drinking, like crack, or smoking, yeah, or crack, whatever, where I just went to go and do it so unconsciously where I was like, let me just have, you know, I'll just have a quick look. It became like a bit of a ritual where like after gym or after a workout, you know, you're scrolling through your phone, and as I would sit there with a coffee, it became a routine, and that's when I knew it wasn't great, where I would go look at his page even though I'd unfollowed him. And there've probably been about, I don't know, over 1,000 times since where I've gone to type in the first few letters of his name. And I did this even as I was going overseas a little bit, where I actually said, Christy, why? Just stop from, like, think about what you're doing. What are you going to feel like after?
And you're in Sri Lanka.
you're going to feel shit after. So then having that moment where I'm like, the intrigue of what he's doing and what he's projecting to the world does not outweigh how crap you'll feel after.
And that's like a lot of online. It goes to dating as well. It is an addiction. Anybody that thinks it's not is kidding themselves. We are all addicted to our phones. And dating, when you're in a hole and you're in a bad place, you know you're on your phone more. You know that more unhappy you are, the more you're digging.
I can so attest to
that. Oh, but it's everybody.
Yeah.
It's everybody. So do not tell yourself it is an innocent checkout. It's not. When you feel your worst, you will be looking harder. So that is the time at the most to step away. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and I'll be back to talk about cool parents. Ugh, we live for weekends, especially Saturdays. Sleeping in, staying up late.
Daydreaming, adventure seeking. That's right, all play and no work.
But we believe your skin should feel as good as you do when you wake up refreshed. Happy, healthy, and bright.
Yeah, developed to reveal your clearest, dewiest complexion, Saturday Skin. It's basically a weekend in a bottle.
Make every day your Saturday with Saturday Skin. It's available at Myer, or you can buy it at www.saturdayskin.net.
Plus, you can use the promo code TG in capitals for your 10% discount.
Okay, cool parent number one.
What, are you calling yourself cool parent number one?
I'm not a parent. I feel like sometimes I am, but I'm not. Nothing to announce here. I just was absolutely obsessed with Justin Timberlake's performance at the Super Bowl all those moons ago, probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago now.
What were you most obsessed with about it? Him, the performance, or all of it?
I love him. I love his music.
I love all
of Justin Timberlake. I've seen him live so many times. I love his music. I think he is the most incredible dancer. I like that he seems to have this kind of black soul.
Yeah,
he's a white
person.
He's like this whole yin and yang kind of character. He's really masculine, but then you can see he's really quite femme. Anyway, he has just extended this whole other world for me through this new album. Man of the Woods is what the album is called.
It's actually in the TG Frost article from a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Because you were on it back then when it first came out.
Yes, and so it has continued the obsession. And I think the obsession has continued more so because in a part and a time of my life where I am starting to think about what it would mean and look like to become a parent, legit, no more fake belly, you know, belly things. We are seriously thinking about starting for a family at some point. And so I am very much looking around me at parents that are continuing to live their adult selves, that kind of present themselves as their person and parent.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I just feel like I think our generation is doing it a bit differently, but I feel like generations before me, particularly for women, have meant that a lot of things change when you have kids. Now, do not get me wrong, I know, and those of you that have had kids, yes, you can Instagram, message me, and let me know all you want that things are going to change. I'm very aware of that. I have close people to me that have had kids. I get it. But I think on a big kind of billboard picture of what it looks like, and as a woman that is very passionate about my career and my identity as a person, I know that that's going to change, but I like watching examples around me where I feel like it has only improved situations rather than made it, I don't know, made them lose themselves.
Do you think that you at your core as a person who you are, because obviously we know all the external stuff changes, blah, 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 but do you think you at your core as a person changes when you become a parent?
Yes.
Or for some people it does?
I don't know.
Well, in other people, maybe you wouldn't know.
I think it must, because I think, look, the reason I'm talking about Justin Timberlake is because Jessica Biel is star of The Sinner. She's kind of in the spotlight at the moment as well. And he's come out and done a lot of press of his new album, which is a lot, is about his son.
And they're obsessed with each other.
Yes.
There's a lot of PDAs going on.
After the Super Bowl, they took a selfie of them watching it. Like, goals.
Yeah, couple goals.
Again, we've just spent, you know, the last half of the episode talking about social media. We don't know legit what goes down in their lives, but it has sparked a thought process in my head about the fact that he is continuing to create, continuing to do music, continuing to dress a certain way, I think you go through these ideas about maybe what your parents were or about what a parent looks like in your mind of what it's going to look like or what you fear. And people like him, people like my best friend, have been the ones to inspire me to go, okay, you change, but you don't have a lobotomy, but that hasn't changed the fear of having a lobotomy. So I'm seeing it around me.
You fear that having a kid will change you as a person. So you'll become, in inverted commas, a mum and lose other parts of yourself.
And I think everybody is scared to say this, but you lose your cool factor.
Mm.
Mothers in particular are looked upon as daggy. And I called everybody out of this in a couple of years ago when we were like, oh, that's such a mum look.
Yeah, the mum hairstyle, I remember.
Like, well, what mums are you talking about? If we think about mums that are on our Instagram now, like we spoke to, you know, in a couple of weeks, you'll be hearing from Sophie Keisha,
the young mummy, right, who's like,
but then you think
so
about
hot.
All these mums in front of you, like Beck Judd, and I mean, I'm not looking to drop it off, like, but Tiffany Hall and great career women in front of us, like Kate Lambrook has four kids, you know, these
insane
women that are incredibly strong and found themselves in their own right. And I think they're all the coolest of people. But in the back of your mind, kind of like you're told you wear white on a wedding day, there's this idea that you are going to lose some kind of, and it's ridiculous. We're not in high school. I get it. The word cool is so immature, but it does make sense. Like it's at the back of your mind, if I'm truly honest, that you go, do you become a bit, do you lose that? What? How does that change? Is cool associated with youth? Is cool associated with kidless people, childless people? Is cool associated with, I don't know, going out clubbing? Like,
think about
what is cool?
Think about the people in your life that are mums or that are dads. Like they're still the same people. Like your best friend, your best mate is a mum.
Yeah, but why do we still having this conversation?
Because because I feel like it's drilled into you. Like it's even little innocent, harmless. Also, we think harmless sayings that you pulled up everybody on like about a year ago when I was like, "Oh, such a mum haircut" or something like that, and you were like, "No," because that's going somewhere. Although we're not walking around going, "Mums are so uncool," that you're not explicitly saying it. There are little things like that that all add up. They're all contributing to the fact that, "Oh, so mum life," or that's, "Oh, of course you'd do that. You're such a mum." But the funny thing about you, Stace, is that you're not a mum, but there have been so many times where over the last, I don't know, however many years that I've known you, you've gone, "Look at this bag. How cool is it? It's like a mum bag." You know, like, "I love you." No, maybe
I've
they weren't
mum
the words.
Stuff cool.
But you, like you found head. It really cool that it might have been viewed as a mum thing by some people. You're not viewing it like that. But wasn't it, was it a bag or, I can't remember what it was, but you were like, "This is so freaking cool." Like some people would be like, "This is a mum thing," but I think this is so cool. Like you felt really sexy in that.
I always
mumness,
have.
In the
yeah,
mumness
I've
of it.
Been gagging you know to be what I mean? A mum. This is the thing. And so maybe people aren't having this issue. I don't know. You'll need to message us if you have. And we'll put this conversation up across our socials throughout this week. I'd love to hear what you think.
Nah, my mate, my best mate, Mia, she's got two kids and she said that was, I think that was a bit of a fear of hers. Her biggest fear was being friends with only mums where she said, I don't want my world to be so much about my kids and a mum that I have nothing else to talk to or relate to anybody else about. So I remember her saying that, yeah, mother's groups are great, but in my mother's group, all we do is talk about being a mum. I also want to have conversations about other shit.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on your fears before you had your first.
That's a good one.
To share them because we could maybe put that in an article. We'll put it up on our Facebook page and head there today, actually. I'll put it up. I'd love to see what you had to deal with before you started thinking about trying.
It's important to give a space for that too because I think sometimes, like you said, you felt a bit weird to say it out loud because it makes you really
well,
vulnerable.
Well, the word cool is ridiculous. We all giggle at it, like the cool group and, you know, and what classifies as that? There's a mean girl mentality to it too. Like, you know, even if you talk about that, you automatically aren't cool. You know, anybody that says, "Oh, I'm cool." You imagine
I'm a cool mum.
You're
I'm
not.
A cool
yeah, exactly. You're not cool. So the second you mention the word and you talk about it, about yourself and other things, and you analyze straight away in old school, like says, "Oh well, then that
cool
just
basically
rules you
means
out.
Trendy."
Yeah. Well, yeah, but no, you're missing the point. You are one of the reasons that makes it hard because you find it so funny to like make that. I don't know. You like to define people cool or not.
Do you reckon? Oh, 100%. So do you find this stuff hard to talk about with me because you think I'm judgmental about it?
I think you go a little bit mean girls when it comes to the cool thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting to hear. I mean, I didn't think that, but
you're
I did
like,
that.
If I ever use the word cool, you giggle at me. Like, do I? As if it's like, I am dorky. Like 100%.
It's hilarious because I do not think that, like, it's interesting that I've made you feel like that when I don't think that myself.
Well, maybe it is my stuff. I don't know. It very well could be. But I think I do think people very easily look at the world and go, "You're either cool or you're not." You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people think that way. So if you are a person talking about it, then you're in the not. You know, even that's how it would have been at high school too. Imagine the girls talking about the cool group. They're clearly not in it. Like you weren't walking around. I could say now and I'm looking back, yeah, I was in the cool group at school. You don't say you're in the cool group at school.
No.
At school.
You just know it.
Well, yeah, uncomfortably for some.
I wasn't in the cool group, so I
was,
know.
But I was uncomfortable with it.
Were you?
Yeah,
I did. So there was a level of awareness of knowing somewhere.
I did it for survival because I'm a bit of a dork. Like, you know, that's obviously where I also get really uncomfy because deep down I've always survived being in environments that are looked upon as quite cool, radio or with strong personalities around me or friends that are quite clever or funny or charismatic. And as much as I'm not saying I don't offer those traits, I also am a bit of an introvert and I giggle at dumb shit and I don't seem to necessarily fit that stereotype. But at the same time, I psychoanalyze the whole thing.
I reckon what cool is somebody that's not giving a shit whether they're cool or not.
Mm.
Like that to me is the true definition. If they're like, they want to be like whatever it is, like something really incredibly rogue or something that, you know, what stereotypically a mum wouldn't do or a boy wouldn't do or a kid wouldn't do, or you're too old for that or you can't do that. That's not cool. But they're doing it anyway. That's what I personally am like, yeah, shit, yeah, that's cool.
I think that's unreal. And I don't think I'd ever make decisions on, is this going to be a cool thing to do with my kid, or am I going to look cool
doing
this?
But that's why you're
– But I do think we're kidding ourselves if we don't have a thought process about, I guess, when you make decisions, what that means. I remember the first time I wore my engagement ring, or it was not even my engagement ring, the engagement ring my friends bought me, at a party with a lot of single people, a lot of blokes. Yeah. And you feel the same to some degree, but people... I was aware that I was looking around to see if people would treat you differently.
Did you feel that they did?
No, not. There was maybe one conversation that I saw him glance at, like his eye glanced at it, and then the conversation ended pretty quickly.
Okay.
And that was the first time that's ever happened to me. So as much as I can be fine with obviously talking to whoever the fuck I want, just because I'm getting married doesn't change that. But people's perception of you is different for them. Do you know what I mean? So when you say you don't care if you're cool, I think the idea in the back of my head is, becoming a mother, does that change people's perception of you? It doesn't matter how fine you are with it.
I think you're...
you change, society sees you in a certain way. And I'm interested and nervous about how that will change.
I think you're so cool because you've always gone to the beat of your own drum. You have, in everything you do. You're a bit like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And that's like,
I think a lot about it. But
but you do. But regardless of whether you think, well, it's a thought process, whatever, like there is this air about you that you're like, I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want. And I think the hardest
things for me have been stepping into things a lot of people do, because I always have lived like that. So getting married, having a baby.
Yeah, those big things that the masses do.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable.
What the common kind of progression of life would be.
Well, yeah, or just what people mostly do.
Yeah, right.
So the second I go there, I'm like, whoa, am I going to lose my point of difference?
Yeah,
am I going to, you know, and that must be my shit.
We've really
dissect that open.
We
have. Haven't we?
Yeah, that's interesting. But you, Stacey June, will be... Stacey June.
Please.
You will be Mum Stacey June. You know what I mean? You're not going to morph into like Fembot Mum.
What's Fembot?
You know, like, I don't know. I think it was an Austin Powers reference where they were like these female, they're like female robots. Like you're not going to morph into like Stepford Wife. But even if you wanted to, then that'd be fine if that was your version of being a mum, provided that it was true to Stacey June. But you will continue to do whatever you do, whether it be writing a book or having a kid or joining the circus.
And as I get older,
Stacey June.
But also as I get older, I realize that, you know, for a person that fought against so many traditional, well, not fought against, but resisted
questioned,
that I probably will look back when I'm like 60 and have one of the most traditional lives that ever lived. This is the fucking
But
irony.
At least you've thought about it and you've done a 360 and come right back to where you started.
That's right. We are so happy to be here. The Thinking Girls Pod channel as well will be hanging, of course, for the rest of the week. Tanya Hennessy will be joining us on the show this week. And so that is coming up. You can 100% follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or listen online if you want at thethinkergirls.com.au.
Not to mention the Thinker Girls right across socials, Facebook, Insta, and chuck us a review. It'll take a couple of seconds. If you're really digging what you like with the pod channel, just give us a shout out. It really, really helps. Thethinkergirls.com.au is a place where everything lives too.
We'll catch you tomorrow, guys.
Bye.
Did you know that Christy and I are regulars on Sunrise?
Yeah, girl. It's the best. And we bring you guys along with us, our posse, every single week just by joining our Insta story.
Yes. From the taxi ride there to the makeup chair and selfies with other amazing, talented Sunrise guests, we share it all.
Yeah, make sure you head to the Thinker Girls on Insta and check out the updates every single Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll catch you there.
This podcast is brought to you by Frank Strong's. Brewed like beer. tastes like lemonade.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.